Blog Talk Radio.
New Africa Excellent Enterprises welcomes you. The topic today is El Islam. I am your host, Elihu Bey, the tafsir of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the commentary on the Holy Quran. So with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, Imam Warid Dean Muhammad. So Allah Rab, Lord. So the Quran, chapter 1, 2, Lord of all the world. So the Quran, 34, 39, 4, Son, he was chosen whom he created. So the Quran, chapter 2, 34, angels bow Adam. Palms 8, 5, little below an angel. So Rab, what means Lord of all the people? So what is the meaning of Lord in its original form or context in the Arabic Quran? Is Lord a person like Jesus or Muhammad? No. Who is the Lord? Allah, God of the heavens and the earth is the Lord. How do we know that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God is the Lord. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So praise be to God, Lord of all the world. Your Lord is God, not the Son of God, or God's creation. He creates no sons. Men are created by God as servants, depending, but they are no biological son of God. So God is not biological. And this is in the gospel, too. But it is confused. The language is so covered that you can't see it. God has blessed me to lift the cover, and I can see it. The gospel says God has no biological children or descendants, and I'll take any preacher, the Pope himself, to test. I will take any man on this earth to test because I know what I'm talking about, and I won't have to take them to test. They will recognize the truth quick. So those big fellas I mentioned, they will see it right away. So what is the meaning of your Lord, God as Lord? Is not only the Lord of man. God as Lord is the Lord of everything in existence. So what is the meaning of Lord? In the Quran, the text, many of the scholars have discussed this meaning of this term. So Rab in the Quran has meaning. That's the one who is called and entitled that name is the one who takes a thing and that still needs to get where it's to go. And he adds, and he takes that thing, cares for it, watches over it, protects it from a distance and also with an awareness that that thing, sometimes that's being done. So protect it and give it what it needs to assist it on where it has to go. So that is Rab, Lord. So God is the Rab of everything in existence. He created this world. But he also planned for this world's protection and for this world's growth into its completion and the law and the influence, etc. That's our operating to bring matter to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends or it to go, eventually have been designed by God. And God is so designing it that way is the Lord of that matter. Not just the Lord of man. So the Quran chapter 1, 14, 1 and 3. Although we are called to see God in our own world as our Lord, when we say, I seek refuge with the Lord of man, the King of man, the God of mankind, what does that signify? when man has been affected by his Lord in the way his Lord wants him to be affected, he is going to be in community life. And in community life, he's going to need a ruling order. And the ruling order is called kingdom, because the last of the old scripture of the Jews and the gospel promises man a kingdom. That kingdom comes. The king suggests the presence of a kingdom. What is lastly? We want this kingdom to be like that which is in heaven. So this kingdom must be under God. Man is affected by his wrath, that develops as his wrath intends for him to be developed into civilized community order. So after that, he needs the Lord who will serve that order, and he needs a rule for that order. But he should see God always in his life and in his destiny. So kings seen as divine is a great mistake. So when he achieves community life, he should be aware that it is his Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has designed for him to come to this community life. When he has achieved government and sits on the throne representing the public, the citizen, he should be aware his Lord has been in all of his development, and his Lord has brought him to be king. So he should make himself to be God-like, many kings did in the past time, like Pharaoh. But he should witness and worship God. So Elihimnas means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community. And then he has formed a law and an order, that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority. Then he should have that whole community and government and its head worshiping God, who has been in all of his development and to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard of callings saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what intelligent man will believe in. Not seasonal man, who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about man who makes an alliance for life when they put their hands in the hands of the leader. It is not only their hand, it is the hands of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. So this is how they pledged their allegiance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that, and I want to believe in that. So God's role is more than a mother and father. That is as dear to me and more dear to me than believing in my mother, who carried me in her stomach, her womb, and when I came out, she stayed with me, fed me, cleansed me, and helped me until I could walk on my own feet and wasn't satisfied. Until she saw that I could go out of the house and get a job and make it for myself. So I can believe in her, and I can believe in that Lord in the same way. Because I was nothing, and someone is telling me to believe in the one who took me from being nothing and cared for my destiny, not so much that he didn't even bother to introduce himself to me. He said, I don't want you to be bothered with that heavy responsibility to try to understand what I am doing. I am just going to do it with him. So human, vulnerable, a little above the angels, who after creating them as matter enabled them to be born from a biological body of a female in a biological image of a human person. So he comes there and stands distant where you couldn't see him, God, and watch you to see that you develop where he wants you to go. And every time you were in a crisis and the world couldn't solve the crisis, he sent a word from himself to a vessel fit to carry it. That's God, to get you where he wants you to go. So as a person of great worth, being worth so much, until God said, he made you a little above the angels. Not in the form that you are in now, maybe, but in the form he wants you in at the destination. So the prophet said, meet me at the destination abundant. Here is a prophet, a leader of the faith community. He's such a leader that God wants the whole world of faith to know that they have no better leader than Muhammad, peace and the blessing be upon him. And how does he tell them that? He is the best example for those who believe in God and the last day. It didn't say for Muslims only, but for any who believe in God in the last day. If you are truly believers in the religion, he is the excellent model for you. And he's enough for the whole humanity. Translated as enough for all people. So here is the model leader for the fifth faith community. But he's also a leader of works. The world is coming to a point where they're going to have to meet him soon as the leader of the faith community. But before they are going to see him as the leader of the works, he is that man. He knows it. Now, the works. What are the works you have to do? If you're going to call the people to faith, you must call the people to believe in the Lord, who is not white, black, brown, European, not African, not Asian, not anybody from amongst us. Agree on man that you will not raise up from yourself, Lord, to the disrespectful God. So what Lord you are going to call them to, brother? You are calling them to have faith, to believe in your Lord, who is not European, African, Asian, nor anybody from biological life, but the one who exists in the heavens and the earth and everywhere and lives eternally. He who neither sleeps nor slumbers, nor does fatigue touch him. So the Quran chapter 1:1-7, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So the one who is created of all the useful things, the benefactor or the beneficent God, the one who has made available all those gifts that we recognize in the natural creation as the grace of God. This attribute brings to mind the role of man in the human society. In the social family is that of a provider. When the baby is born, it begins enjoying the benefits of a home life that are made possible by its father, the provider. If its home has developed naturally or in line with normal human development, the child has its bed, its clothing, its eating table, its food, and other things that it needs to satisfy itself in childhood. So these things are provided by the father. In the home, the father is the benefactor who provides and who makes gifts available to the young children of his loins. So we have an Al-Rahman, a name that is much greater in description, because it is a name that covers the whole of creation, the whole of human needs, and all the needs of all creatures. So Rahman for physical, mental, moral, and spiritual needs. So Al-Rahman not only covers the physical graces, but it also includes the mental, the moral, and the spiritual graces. Even the Holy Quran itself is called a gift of Al-Rahim or Al-Rahman. So Al-Rahim, mercy, the womb. So Al-Rahim brings to mind another grace and mercy. we see in it an image or a signification pointing to the concept of the female womb. The child conceived in the womb of the mother grows until it reaches its full development when it is delivered into the world. When it is delivered into the world, it remembers no pain or bad experience from the period of the development in the womb. It comes here immediately, is provided with milk. In the breast of the mother is the food that it needs for further growth and development. We see in this, too, the attributes of a beneficent provider in need for the young child before it becomes aware that it has any need. This is the grateful mercy that comes to the creatures continuously without the creature having to ask for it. So it is eternal grace and a continuous grace. So we have two attributes that are attributes of this divine supreme being, one bringing to mind the social image of man and his role as provider and the benefactor. The second one bringing to mind the role of the woman as one who watches over and cares for the tender life, gives it its needs, and protects it from suffering. So God male Zeus and Apollo. Society had worshipped God in many images, and in the female image, they had God in the Middle East as a male god, sex god, Zeus, Apollo, and others. Then they had God also as a female deity, the great mother Artemis, and others. At one time or another, the male sex deity enjoyed popularity as a dominant concept for people to worship. And at another time, the female sex deity enjoyed the popularity of having been worshipped by the people of the world. So the supreme being is not a sex deity. God is not limited to the attributes of a male deity or a female deity. But God, Allah, is all in all, comprising all the divine attributes. Allah is more gracious, more beneficent, and a greater provider than can be envisioned in a male sex or a female sex deity. The very sign of Allah's grace in the masculine role are the gifts of the original being, the creator himself. The very presence of the grace that we see when we study the female, her function, and the fruits of her womb and the grace that we see in her function as a mother. All of these things are the works of an originator. Therefore, Allah is the perfect provider and the best benefactor. So God is not a half-deity male nor female. He is not a half-deity existing in male form or in a female form or attribute, but a deity representing, responsible for the divine attributes that we define as masculine and attribute, and for the divine attributes that we define as female attributes. So, Rab of the whole creation. This is an attribute meaning to one who formed a thing from the very beginning, who develops that thing stage by stage until it reaches the desired goal and provides for it all that it needs, its continuous existence. Allah knows the past and the future. The one who is most worthy of our worship is that one who has been working on us from the very beginning, fashioning us and developing us to completion. He is not just Rab of a particular religion or a particular family or life, but he has done this for the whole creation. So he who exists from the beginning has no beginning himself. He is free from the influences and the essence of time and ages. So here is the image of God as the one who existed before this creation, who brought about all of these things, step by step into manifestation. He is the one who knows what has happened from the earliest period of time. And moreover, he is the one who has been acquainted with us from before our very beginning. He is Rab, the one who develops a thing from the beginning, watches over it, needs and develops in stage by stage until that thing reaches completion. So if he is Rab of all creation, all the world, or all of the universes, then who should we fear judgment from? We should not fear judgment from a newly conceived God diet, but we should fear judgment from the God who has made all these things possible from the beginning. So the Quran chapter 7, not those wrath upon. Numbers 14, 2 and 5, Jews complained against Moses. So the people on whom wrath came are the people called Jews in the Bible. If we recall the Genesis, and particularly the Exodus, we see that the history of the so-called Jews and the history of a people who were suspicious of their leader, Moses. At every turn, they were questioning him. They did not follow him willingly, and they were not willing to accept direction when direction came to them. As a result of their suspicion and rebellion, God brought upon them great punishment. At the mount when Moses came down to them with the law on the tablet. They were a people who rebelled every over and over again. They are given a name in this prayer, which means those upon whom the wrath of God fell. So here it does not say the wrath of Allah. It just says wrath. So why the wrath in this particular prayer mentioned without the doer of the wrath being named? It is left like this because the wrath that came upon them was the Holy Quran said in many places, the consequences of their own wrongdoing. It was because of consequences of their suspicion, their lack of faith, and their weaknesses. Stray one misguided Christian. So those who stray. The Holy Quran refers to them in this way, because it was the early founders of the so-called Christian church who is seeking a way out of their religious confusion. In Jerusalem, took on foreign ideas from pagan thoughts. So they came up with a kind of answer or an argument against the Jewish idea and the Jewish thinking at that time. So they went astray because they did not seek out the original way, but they sought to come up with something new. In forming something new, they introduced many idolatries or pagan ideas into the religion. Though they were astray, they were not accused of going astray intentionally. If they were accused so, they would have been called those who rebelled. They were seeking a way out of their problems and out of their confusion. They did have faith in God, and they were looking for a right way, but they did not rely upon old established truths. So the Quran chapter 2, 1 to 3, Quran for those who believe. Bukhari 147, Ishan worship Allah as seeing him. So the Quran is to the advanced the process of freedom. Freedom is for human intellect and rational potential. You cannot enslave a man's will or potential. We know that the mission of God's word in human life and society is to advance the process of freedom and not just for freedom of the physical body. This distinction is very important for the African American people who think of freedom in the circumstances of their own life and history. When the word freedom is mentioned, it usually strikes the African-American as freedom from the physical bondage or physical restriction. The higher idea of freedom is not freedom from physical bondage, physical restriction, but freedom of the human intellect, of that rational potential that God gave equally to all people. You cannot enslave a man's will or his potential. You may capture or hold him back physically. But if he remains in the order God created him and doesn't sacrifice the spirit forward movement God put in him, he will remain free, though he may be physically confined. So the Quran recites to the children before they even learn to speak. Muslim parents should recite the Quran to their children before they even learn to speak. In fact, it is a guide that as soon as the child is born, the kalima should be recited in its ear. It is also very important to recite al-Fatiha and the first line of the second chapter of the Quran, Surat al-Baqarah, translated the cow. So the translation of the second chapter reads as follows. Bismillah nirrahmanir rahim. Dalaku kitabu la radatihi huda ila mustaqim. Translated, this is the book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guide to those who want to go right. So now shouldn't we be giving this to our children? And we should give it to them as believers so that when it registers on them, they accept it from the mouth of the faithful. If we read these verses to our children, they would be great, great guidance and support. The Quran would set their attitude before the world sets it for them. It wouldn't set their attitude towards being right, towards being dutiful to God, and being responsible to their fellow man. In commenting on these first few verses, we see that in the Quran there is no doubt, no defects or imperfection. It says that it is a guide to those who desire to go right, who believe in God, who keep up prayer and give for the sake of others. This is wonderful. Isn't it only a few words? But look how it has established what my attitude should be and where my sentiment should go. It has obligated me with respect to my Creator and also to my fellow man. So it has assured me that what it has invited me to stand upon is perfect. So authority, he has his own mind, is a sign of clock and condition, rebellion, and defiance. So the life of the Islamic discipline begins in the area of our spiritual tendency. That is most critical. Spiritual tendencies are the emotionality of the human being, the trend that this spirit is subject to follow. So these are sometimes manifested in thick, hardened attitudes and can't live except in that spirit. This explains the kind of spirit we have in our society today, a thick spirit of disrespect for authority, of disrespect for parents, of rebellion, defiance, and just being different for the sake of being different. If parents try to advise their own children as to what is best for them, the children might say, oh, I am entitled to my own opinion. And those who go along with that modern trend will tell that child, parent, well, you know, the child has a mind of his own. That is a sign of intelligence, but it is actually a sign of clocked-in conditioned rebellion and defiance. It is a sign of the absence of God's guidance. So discipline requires strength. The word discipline brings to mind a need for the strength. Weak people cannot discipline themselves. Take, for an example, people overeat and become overweight. They know they shouldn't keep eating jelly rolls and an extra large order of french fries and pizza. They will order pizza with extra cheese, even though they have been told that the pizza is fattening and it is junk food. By junk food, they mean that it isn't helpful to your system. So people must have something they give priority to among things they respect. So we can lose respect for ourselves to the extent that we will risk our own life, knowing that we may die if we do certain things. This is reflected in the attitude of those who are warned of some destructive habits. If you say to them, "You know those cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol will kill you," and they reply, "Well, I have to got to die from something, so it might as well be from something that I enjoy." So most of us have some respect for our own individual bodies, for our own individual selves. But that is not big enough to save us. The only thing that will save us is to make God the object of our life and rule over our life. Prophet Muhammad said, "You are to behave as though you are seeing Allah. For if you are not seeing him, he is seeing you." So now if we will respect God to that extent, it will give us strength in our whole life. People who have that kind of fear and respect for a higher command in their lives have the strength they need to keep up proper discipline. So the Quran chapter 1:1-7, let's take Al-Fatiha off. We know Al-Fatiha does not appear in that chapter, but that's the name given to the since the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace and a blessing be upon him, Al-Fatiha. So the opening is also means the victory, and it also has an allusion or a hint. It hints to another meaning. The key is mufta, and the key is opening. It is in the act of opening Al-Fatiha. That is what it means. The key is in the act of opening this chapter is called the opening. So this means, that is a combination of two words, this and means, with and with means by. So Safatu Hunan Bishayad Riti, translated, means I traveled here by my car. So this means, you mean more than in your means by, because you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name. And you also mean that it is your help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God is your help for doing whatever you are doing or for whatever you are talking about. God is your help. So Allah's name word origin. Allah comes from two words. This word al means and ilah. Like this, it means God. So ilah means any God. Ilah, this means just God. It could go for any God. It can go for false God. We know it means something people worship or take for divine power over them. And that's what it means. Anything that you think is outside of you and has power over you and is mysterious, you don't know everything about it, and you believe that you are subject to it. You believe that if you do wrong, it will punish you. If you believe that about a thing, it could be pictured as a snake. It can be an idol that's made into the form of a snake. But if you believe that idol has that power, then that is your ilah. So Rahman the Rahim from the word mercy. The word for mercy comes from Rahima. This is mercy. Arahim means womb or family relation. It means female womb, animal womb, or close family tie. At-taqulla, fear God, reverence God. Warahim, translated, it is and the womb that bore you, or the close family tie. You can translate it like that, Arahim. So womb of the female is how we get the life back. So if this word from Arahim, then can you see redemption? Something being brought back. It's though the womb of the female. And we get the life back, don't we? The life comes back by way of the female. So alhamdulillah encompasses love, respect, and appreciation. So alhamdulillah means a little more than praise. It also means that the person who is praised feels an indebtedness when he's praising something and feels also love, respect, and appreciation. It means I owe you something, respect and gratitude, thankfulness. So li ilahi, it means belong to, showing possession. Who it belongs to, ilahi, it belongs to God. Inna lahi, translated, surely we belong to God. You can translate it, surely we are God. It means God's people. Inna lahi wa inna lahi raji'un. Translated, surely we belong to God, and to God we are returning. Ilahi meaning to him. He is him. Wa ilahi raji'un. Translated, we are returning. So li to God, and to God we are returning. Ilah meaning to him. He is him. Wa ilahi raji'un. Translated, we are returning. So li, the possession pronoun, means a very strong attachment. Now, if we want to say, this is my book, I would say, had the hajitab, indeed. It wouldn't be proper for me to say li, and some people may say that, but if you say li, that means very strong attachment. That means there is a natural bond between me and what I'm talking about. So you say li for your mama and for your children. Li waladin, translated, I have two sons. You can't say indi, that is incorrect. The bond is too light, too tight, and possession is too dear. It's too natural for you to say indi. You say indi when you're talking about Snicker candy bar, or an example, you say indi Snicker. So ilahi means God is the possessor. So ilahi, everything has that close bond with God. The earth, God says, mafasemiwati wa abdi. Ilahi, translated, it is whatever is in the sky and the earth is for God. They say for God, but it means God is the possessor of those things. For God, they translate it, but it means whoever is in the sky and whatever is in the earth belongs to God. And the possession is a natural possession, not one that was formed by something that was outside of God's power. So God's power formed it. God's power formed our relations with each other. That's why you have to say, La, my mother, I have a mother, Umi, La Umi, or La Umna. Translated, I have my mother, very strong ties, bond that. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said for that, it means that it belongs to him by its very nature. It never belonged to anybody else before it belonged to him. That's what it means. Maybe somebody else got it like man got it, the whole world later. But it means it belongs to God. And God is first, and nobody had it before God. That's what it means when we say that. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. See the strong laugh. The praise, ilahi. It is for God. It was for God before man was created. It was for God. Nobody gave him that he owned that praise before anything existed. That praise was his, that is why it is last. Alhamdulillah, praise be to God, the Lord of all the worlds. So Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is repeated, and we will discuss that later, maybe, for you. Then Maliki Yawmiddin. It is a long A, like ah, and this is L, and this is K, Maliki. They translated master. It means king also. It is because king is the sovereign ruler. and he makes all of the decisions, and he does not ask anybody how he should make his decision unless he wants to. That is his privilege, to invite somebody to contribute to his judgment, but he does not have to do it, and that should be no one but God. So Iyakah means my whole attention is only on you. The next word is Iyakah, means not only thee do we worship, it means that my whole attention is only on you. When I think of my God, or when I worship, my whole attention is only on you. So now, Akabudu, worship gives master complete authority. So translated, you alone we worship. So the word worship actually comes from a word meaning slave, abden. And God calls us Ab. Ab is slave or servant. But Ab, it is a servant that has given the master or the boss complete authority over him or her, or has accepted that the boss has complete authority over him or her. That means if you want to marry a certain person, you have to go and ask the boss. Slaves are not supposed to marry anybody without the boss, the slave master's permission. So the slave master picks the mate unless he's pleased with the mate that the slave wants. So if he's not pleased with her, the master picks the mate, or he may say, no, I'm sorry. You cannot marry. I can't afford to have that my business won't run right if you want to bring in a wife. And this is an ancient practice of people finding a person who has money and asking that person, could I work for you for the rest of my life, be your servant for the rest of my life? And if the person accepts it, yes, or the person who wants that kind of a servant might see somebody and say, would you like to come and be my servant for the rest of your life or for for 10 years? If it is for a term, then they have a contract, and you cannot break that contract. If you break the contract, you are seriously in trouble in most of the world. We don't have that here in the Christian world. You don't have it. And in certain other religions, you don't have it. But you might have a drug pusher that will kill you if you do something without his permission. Worse than slavery. So nasting means to ask with passion and feeling inside your heart. But it is more than just asking. You are asking with a lot of passion and feeling, and because just to ask for something, there is another word in Arabic. But you don't ask God this word. Nazteen. We ask. We ask with our hearts in it, with our feelings in it. We are asking you with strong feelings. We are asking you. You alone we ask for help. No, you are supposed to ask your mother for help. You are supposed to ask anybody to help you that you think you need help from, but not with that kind of passion and feeling inside your heart. When it comes to God, there is a bigger dimension. There is a bigger side for our love and our passion and our concern. So our concern becomes much bigger. God, please help us have a good family. We need to ask. We need to do that. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, please help us have a better family. If you do it, you will get it. That's right. Even if the bad one is making all the trouble, might have to go to jail or die. But many times the worst one becomes the best one, has a turnaround for his life, and becomes the best one. So you alone we implore for help. Implore is a strong that connects strong passion or indicates or expresses strong passion. We implore, not implore like you implore somebody to work for you. It means to turn to somebody asking for something with a lot of passion. So it's Dina, guide us. Mustatim is the path of uprightness. So Mustatim is translated as straight. Guide us on our, guide us and our, guide us to the straight path. Soratu is the path of Mustatim, is the straight, the upright, the path of uprightness, because this word Mustatim comes from the word karma. It means to stand up. Mustatim is taken from that word karma. That means to stand up. Magdubi expresses God's displeasure, anger, and wrath. This word Magdubi is in the objective case again. What are we talking about? Hit them. They are the people that something hit. God's displeasure, God's anger, God's wrath, his rejection of them, hit them. It is from the word Gadiga. Gadiga, it means to become angry or become very displeased, where you want to do something about it. You want to hurt somebody. And this comes from the Bible. This is the same word that was used in Scripture before they encouraged God's wrath. This is Bible. So, waladilin, darling, means to miss what you are aiming for. This is two L's. And darling means those who miss what they were aiming for and went astray. That means they went off, went astray, like I was trying to throw something to hit a certain thing, but it goes off from the target. My throw, dollar, it went off from the target, missed the target. And not those who missed the way or not those who went astray. It means the same thing. So alhamdulillah, li indicates natural strong connection. So God says, Ilahi, for God. Matas semiwati wa atdi Ilahi. He didn't say, indeed, la, Ilah. No, because that relationship is more strong, much stronger. So when I say I possess, I have something in thee, it's like money. It's like a car. It's like those things. But if I'm talking about my son, my daughter, or my wife, it's no more indeed. It's lead. Very strong connections. Natural connection, maybe, we should say. A natural connection, like my son, is a natural connection to me. So when God says of himself, Ilahi mafessane wa'ashi wa'ati, he is saying that these things are mine first, before there was anybody else's. They are mine, and they are mine above everybody else. I am the owner of everybody else. I have first rights to it, etc. So like a woman will tell you, this is my daughter. I don't need you to tell her what to do in front of my face. Don't be telling her something that you want her to do in my face. God has the right over all of us because he made everything and made us. So the Quran chapter 1, 7 and 7, Quran 15:87, 7 repeated verses. The Quran chapter 93, 7, he found you wondering. So the Quran chapter 2, 144, turn your face to Kaaba. So the Quran chapter 6:6, we destroy people greater than you. So the Quran chapter 26:49, crucify the body on opposite side. So the Quran chapter 14:12, you guide us to our path. So the Quran chapter 2:36-38, get you down from here. So the Quran chapter 20:55, from the earth return to it, then resurrect it. So the Quran chapter 12:76, Allah above those who have knowledge. So the Quran chapter 41:2, come willingly or unwillingly. So 1 Kings 4:25, every man has his own vine and fig tree. Matthew 10:38, taketh not this cross. John 19:33-34, Jesus tab, water, and El Hadith, page 2, 123, 13-17, and 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, men of sin and throne of God. So 1 John 5:6, Jesus came by water and blood. Isaiah 61:6, Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. So Luke 6:26, woe when all speak well of you. So Al-Fatiha reads with 7 steps. When you read Al-Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it in many ways. You could read it line by line, or it's okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as the 7 Latin verses. The 7 Latin verses that comes in 2 Nazina is the Arabic word. We want to stop 7 times. 1, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 3, Maliki Yawmiddin. 4, Iyaka na'abudu wa Iyaka nasta'in. 5, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. 6, siratal ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. That is what we want. Let us establish reading Al-Fatiha that way.